Your dreams are bigger, bolder, and more badass than the life you're living now, but something just keeps getting in the way. Join certified coach and former therapist Diane Wingert for the Driven Woman podcast. She'll show you how to get rid of whatever is holding you back so you can stop spinning your wheels and up-level your life. Get ready to hop in and buckle up. This is the Driven Woman podcast, and we're heading for the fast lane.
Well, hey there, and welcome back, Driven Woman. Are you ready for another kick-ass solo episode? Well, I am here to deliver. Now, if you've noticed the title of this one, it's called Saying No Like You Mean It. You can think of it as a companion episode for having boundaries like a boss. Because here's the thing. I mean, I could say, congratulations. You've got a business, a real business, not a hobby. How do you know the difference? Because you have paying customers. That's how. And okay, so the first few customers, clients, prospects are probably friends and family. That's okay. That's totally okay. That's how most businesses start. It's also where most an early investment comes from for businesses that have investors. So, congratulations, you have a business, you've got clients, you have passed the first hurdle and the first milestone. Because I have helped a lot of emerging and aspiring entrepreneurs who say they really don't feel legit until someone pays them. And I think that makes a lot of sense, especially in the coaching industry, where there's an awful lot of people who do an awful lot of coaching for free or for very little money, so that they develop confidence in their coaching abilities, but they have zero confidence in their ability to ask to be paid. So you are further along than that. Woohoo! But it's not quite far enough to have a profitable business that can support you for years to come, because we have a few more obstacles to address. Okay, you know, I always promise to be the no BS therapist turned coach, and I will not let you down on this episode either. So you have pitched enough people to get some clients. First milestone, check. Now, what are some of the problems that you might see coming up? Well, I'm going to ask you, are you prepared for pushback on your pricing? Are you prepared for people asking for friends and family discounts when they're neither friend nor family? You know, you can go 6 degrees of separation on this whole thing and have a friend of a friend or a friend of a family or a friend of a family of a friend of a family. And next thing you know, you're paying people to work with you because there's so many getting discounts. Are you prepared to address that issue when it comes up? Are you prepared to address bartering requests? Also very common in the coaching industry and in, frankly, so many of the healing and helping professions as well. I'll make a website for you. You fix my chronic back pain, that kind of thing. Are you prepared for that? Now, it is not my business, especially here on this podcast. I mean, I'm not your coach. I'm just the coach that you happen to be listening to right now. I cannot tell you not to barter. I mean, bartering is how people used to do business for centuries. So it's not my role. It's not my business to tell you don't barter in your business. I simply want you to be prepared when requests to barter come up. Want to know what else I want you to be prepared for? Okay, here I'm going down the list. Requests for payment plans. Have you thought about that? Can you meet your financial obligations to your team and to the services that you need to run your business if you allow your customers to make payment plans? You need to think about this in advance. Also, every once in a while, people will ask for a guarantee, which I find absolutely fascinating. But you know what? There are businesses online who offer risk-free guarantees, and they have a variety of different criteria for taking advantage of that. So you shouldn't be surprised if someone sooner or later asks you, do you offer a guarantee or can you guarantee my results? If you're not prepared, I promise you they will ask. So these are things that I want you to think about in advance. And we're going to talk a little bit more about getting ambushed, because when we aren't prepared, when we aren't anticipating things, and we haven't already thought out how we want to respond to them, 9 times out of 10, we will either stumble and fumble and say, okay, I guess so. Because since we don't have a prepared answer, we sort of feel obligated to go along with whatever it is they're proposing. I think you always need to be prepared, because people ask for all kinds of things, and these things are actually relatively predictable. Let me finish going down the list. Guaranteed results is kind of along the lines with risk-free. Extended access. So for example, if you are doing a group coaching program and you have your weekly coaching calls or your twice a month calls or your monthly calls, whatever your particular program entails, you will sooner or later, and probably sooner, have one or more of your students say, yeah, but I can't really make it to the call, so I need to be able to email you in between, or I need to be able to submit my work to you privately and get your feedback on it. You can't be upset for people asking. It's people's nature to ask. Everyone thinks they're a special snowflake, and everyone thinks their needs are the most important and should be considered. There's nothing wrong with that. It is just human nature to be operating out of our own self-interest. But my point is that I want you to be prepared and not taken by surprise. Extra time and extra attention. This is another request that usually comes in a little bit of a sneakier form and isn't quite so obvious, but you should absolutely be prepared for it, because especially in group programs, you will attract people with a variety of levels of skill and a variety of levels of need and a variety of levels of comfort asking for help. Some of them will be quite upfront about it, and others will kind of sneak it in on you over time. You need to be prepared. Also, something called scope creep. I freaking love this term, scope creep. It almost sounds like, you know, a character in a horror film. Oh, there goes that scope creep. But it's actually a very accurate term that describes you set up to do a particular job. Let's say you're going to build a website, and the client says, well, as long as you're building the website, could you also review my copy? Well, maybe copywriting or copy editing or even copy review is not part of your service. If it's not in your scope of work and the person is asking for it, if you're not prepared and you don't know how to respond to it, can very well result in scope creep. And scope creep is usually not malicious. It's usually not somebody intends to take advantage of you or exploit you or waste your time or get a better deal from you. People don't often know that their needs or expectations are in excess. They just ask. But if you're not prepared, you will not respond in the way that you feel good about. Now, I think I should take a moment and talk about why it's so hard for us to deal with these things. And if you've been riding along with me for a while on the Driven Woman podcast, you have most certainly heard me talk about feminine conditioning and how our culture kind of teaches us that we should always be there for other people as women, that we should give and sometimes give until it hurts. Everybody always talks about how their mom was always there for them. You can't always be there for anyone without sacrificing yourself. So that whole myth that that is what women are supposed to be oftentimes gets brought into our business, and then we apply that standard to being there for our clients, which is obviously problematic unless you have one very well-paying client, which is not the majority of us. So there's the feminine conditioning. There's also the fact that most of us have been brought up in families where the girls did more things than the boys. And even if that were not true, if you are a fan of Gretchen Rubin's book, The Four Tendencies, like I am, then you will know that 42% of all humans are obligers, which means when it comes to expectations, they're really good at meeting other people's expectations, even if they suck at meeting their own, which if you're always meeting other people's expectations, you will suck at meeting your own. They just kind of go together. So these are just, oh, and there's one more thing that I often talk about on the podcast. Your hormones and neurotransmitters as a female also program you towards being much more accommodating than you might want to be. So there are all these reasons that sort of prompt you to say yes and to not feel very comfortable saying no. And if you want to throw in a few other reasons, we have the fear of losing a client. That's very real, especially when you're just getting started, or if you have literally had your business's ass kicked through this pandemic. You may not feel like you can set any kind of limits or say no to anything, whether you like it or not. And if you and your business are in that state right now, you have my sympathy. That is a really, really hard place to be. And sometimes that's exactly what's necessary to keep your doors open until things get better. But if that's not where you are, and you just haven't worked out your no muscle, and are ending up saying yes to things that you'd rather say no to, that's where I can help. That's where we can make some progress together, even on this very podcast episode. But the fear of losing a client is real, even if you have plenty of clients. Everyone wants a termination to happen as planned. Termination doesn't mean you're getting fired. Termination means that you work with your client until they have reached their goals, or until the deliverables have been delivered, or for the amount of time that you have been contracted to work with them, and then they terminate. I can't think of too many businesses that are open-ended for life. I think that sounds like it might be great, but for most of us, it's nicer to be able to take someone to their goals and then have them go away happy and speak well of you. They can always come back later. But the fear of losing a client because they're disappointed, or because you didn't meet their needs, or because you set a limit, or you said no to their request, that is a real fear for many of us. Also, fear of having someone speak poorly of you on social media. That has become a fear for many people, a fear that didn't even frankly exist 20 years ago. But the only complaints I have ever gotten were taken immediately to social media. And the two times this happened were by people who didn't even work with me, but by people who I said I would not work with because I had good reasons not to. And they immediately took it to social media. So that is a real fear, because it's kind of like being sued, right? Anyone can sue anyone in the US. And even if it's a frivolous suit, as some percentage of them are, oftentimes harm is done to your reputation simply because you've been named in a lawsuit, even one that had no merit. So it is normal and natural for us to be worried about that. Some people worry about it to the extreme, but it is a real fear. Nobody wants to be spoken poorly of publicly. We also might feel that we are embarrassed if we don't have a client that's happy with us at all times. And some of us will even take that as proof that we aren't good enough or that we don't know what we're doing. So if any of these things apply, we've got some work to do. And I also want to say this, and I mentioned this in the previous episode, the solo episode about setting boundaries like a boss. If you are an entrepreneur who has a trauma history, this will be one of the areas that will be difficult for you. Of course, setting boundaries is difficult for people who have an abuse or trauma history, and saying no for these same individuals will feel risky, scary, and unsafe. So if you need help from a therapist on these issues, you want to make sure you get that, in addition to getting advice from podcasts like this one, or even working with a coach like myself. Now, what are some of the things that we need to be prepared for if we have difficulty with the no's? Well, we may just have discomfort with any kind of negotiation, just don't want to deal with it. We might be conflict avoidant. Quite a few people are. We may be an Enneagram 9. We might be an empath, a highly sensitive person, an introvert or a highly creative person or someone who is neurodivergent and has issues with rejection sensitivity. You know, it's kind of a funny thing, but when you have difficulty being rejected, you are going to have a hard time saying no to requests from others because you're going to feel like you're rejecting them. Internalizing how you feel about rejection and projecting it on them. See how that works? It's very normal for all of us to think that everybody experiences things the way we do, but it's simply not true. Now, I've been talking a lot about why it's so difficult for us to say no and the different opportunities that will come up in your business that you definitely want to be prepared for because no might be the right answer. Things might be negotiated. You might have a little back and forth. You might be able to compromise, but sometimes no is the right answer. And if no is the answer that you can never get to come out of your mouth, but sometimes it's absolutely necessary, then I would really like to help you build a little bit of skill and a little bit of a mindset shift on this even before we finish this episode. How does that sound? Okay, because I've been talking a lot about how hard it is and all the ways that it can show up, and you're probably thinking, well, shoot, I guess I won't be in business much longer. No, that's not the point at all. My whole emphasis as a business mindset coach is for you to be prepared, because 9 times out of 10, when we're taken by surprise, when we don't anticipate something, we usually don't respond in the way we would if we had thought about it and had a plan. So that's what I want to help you do. Think about it and have a plan. So we're going to take a quick little break for this announcement, and then I'll be right back. Hey, it's Diane. If this is your very first listen to the Driven Woman podcast, I want to thank you for joining us. And if you are one of my diehard fans who has been along from the very beginning, I especially want to thank you. This has been an amazing experience, and I have learned so much from it. Just getting in front of the mic for the first time in my life and learning how to express myself in this medium, to the amazing client success stories I've been able to share with you, and the brilliant, badass female entrepreneurs, coaches, and consultants who have been my guests on the podcast. As we are finishing up our first 1.5 years and episode 88, soon to be hitting 45,000 downloads, I have so much more I want to share with you. But I also know that listening to a podcast for most of us just isn't enough. So if you like this podcast, if you like what I have to say and how I say it, including the swearing, you like my guests, you like the client success stories, and you tell yourself, you know, one of these days it would be amazing to work with her, I want to let you know that big changes are happening behind the scenes and in front of the scenes at Diane Wingert Coaching. And starting in 2022, I will be for the first time offering a group membership program, because I have loved, loved, loved working with clients one-on-one, and I will continue to do so on a more limited basis. But I have learned from my own experiences and from what people tell me they want that the power of group accountability is incredible. You can get guidance, support, and accountability from me, and I love providing it. But the power of a group really kind of 10x's those results. It also makes the cost of coaching with an expert like me more accessible for more people, and I like the feel of that as well. So that is what's going to be happening, and changes will be coming along the line to the podcast as well. You're going to be hearing some new music, you're going to be seeing some different types of guests and different types of episodes. I don't know about you, but I get bored if I do the same thing over and over and over. So I want to keep it fresh, keep it interesting, keep it relevant, and keep it fun for all of us. So that's what you have to look forward to. If you want to know more about what's happening and want to be the first in line to be informed of new offers and opportunities, please make sure you get on my email list. You're just going to get an email once a week. You can unsubscribe whenever you like, but that's the best place to make sure you don't miss anything. Next best place to be connected is in my private Facebook group, The Driven Woman. Links to both of these are in the show notes. I invite you to connect more deeply with me than just listening to the podcast. I love my podcast listeners, but I don't know who you are. If you hop in the Facebook, we can get to know each other better. If you're on my email list, we will get to know each other better. And if you join my brand new membership program coming soon, we will definitely get to know each other better. I am looking forward to 2022. My intention is to grow and to blow my own mind while rocking other people's worlds. If you want to be a part of that, let me know. Links are in the show notes. I can't wait to connect with you.
Now, looking back, you know, a year from now to today, I'm a completely different person. Even, you know, from the very first day that I started to work with you, I realized things are going to be really different. I mean, actually, I know before we even spoke, when I heard you on that podcast, I thought, you know, this woman is exactly what I need. And there, honestly, I've never met anyone like you. And I'm so appreciative of everything that you've done. I mean, just sharing your experiences with everyone and being so open and honest, and just seeing you and how you interact with other people and how you share your experiences has helped in that recalibration in my own mind, because now I can accept myself for who I am and I don't have to apologize for who I am. Who I am is who I am, and I love who I am. I'm not perfect by any means. No one is, but I'm freaking awesome.
Okay, are we ready? All right, let's do this. Listen, we all want to be liked. That's normal. I want to be liked. And of course you do too. And when you have a service-based business, it's really important. If you have a product-based business and it's a product that everybody wants and needs, and you're selling it at a reasonable price and you have no competitors, it probably doesn't matter if you're nice or not. It probably doesn't matter if anybody likes you. They really don't have any choice. They need what you've got and you're the only place to get it. So there you go. But for most of us, when we are selling a service such as coaching, consulting, any kind of done for you, done with you, any kind of product or service that you need to run your business, then the know, like, and trust factor has like in it for a reason. We work with people we like. I don't give my money to people I don't like. Why would I? Unless I had no choice. And frankly, the number of choices we all have just keeps increasing. Now, I'm one of those people who think competition is a good thing because it brings out the best in all of us. If we want our share of the business, we just have to do better. But it also means that we need to get better at saying no to the things that don't serve us, no to the things that drain us, strain us, make us resentful, because those are the very things that will lead us to burnout. And that doesn't benefit anyone. So I like to say the best defense is a good offense. And in this case, the good offense is knowing ahead of time your bottom line. What makes up your bottom line? Well, knowing your business values, for example. Is one of your business values the customer is always right? You know, I grew up with that as a business value. In fact, almost every business as I was growing up and getting my first few jobs at least proposed to that value that the customer is always right, which meant that as someone working in retail or working in fast food, which was usually the high school students and the college students, we took an awful lot of shit from the customers. Because when that business espoused the value that the customer is always right, customers felt entitled to act however they would choose. And some of them acted like assholes. So I don't find too many businesses that have that value. Some businesses will have the value that we always want to turn things around faster than you expect. Okay? You're creating an expectation. You might expect some pushback if you don't deliver on it. One of the businesses that I think even went out of business, I may be wrong on this, but Domino's Pizza I had quite a few Domino's pizzas ordered when I was a single parent for 10 years with three kids, every Friday night, as a matter of fact, for quite some time. But Domino's Pizza had a promise. It was their value that they would get their pizza to you in 30 minutes or less, which sounds great because, frankly, if you like pizza, nobody wants to wait for it. But as you can imagine, there were a lot of accidents involving drivers for Domino's because to make that 30-minute limit sometimes meant they had to exceed the speeding limits, and sometimes that causes accidents. So being really clear on what your business values are and understanding that sometimes we promise things because we think it makes us sound better from a marketing perspective, but it creates expectations that we cannot reasonably sustain, and that creates the potential for unhappy customers. So better to give an accurate representation of the value that we provide and not create problems for ourselves that are going to lead us to uncomfortable situations. Another thing we need to be really clear about in advance is our goals. Is it your goal to be profitable or to generate revenue? There's a really important difference there. Because if you have an online business, let's say you create courses and you have a revenue goal, you are chasing that elusive 6-figure, 7-figure, now I hear 8-figure, whatever that particular goal is that somebody is selling to you, and that's your banner cry. I want to be a 7-figure entrepreneur. I'm going to make 6 figures in my online business. Great. But you can make 6 figures, spend a whole lot on building a team. You can drop a bunch on Facebook ads. And then what you'll keep, what you've actually got in your business, isn't even enough for you to pay yourself a minimum wage. But you had that revenue goal and you met it. I would much rather see you have a profit goal where you pay yourself, you pay your team, and you have money to invest in developing your business. You're going to do things differently, but you need to know what your business goals are. And I believe one of the most important things you need to do, and we're going to tie this all up with a bow with the nose. I didn't mean that to rhyme, but it did. Oh, well. Is your unique service proposition. I did not originate this term, so please don't give me credit for it. But your USP, or your unique service proposition, is really this. Why you? Why should somebody work with you? Why should someone hire you? Not what makes you better, because it's impossible to be better than everybody, let's be honest. But you can be different. One of my favorite examples is Juliet PA, a copywriter who has been a guest on this podcast and I am madly in love with. She is absolutely delightful and very clever because she offers her killer copy week. She does things differently. She doesn't have to be better. She does it differently, and that makes her better. So what is your unique service proposition, and how do you stand out? You know, when you do things differently and you can create value in your offers and communicate that clearly to potential customers, you get a lot fewer requests that you end up needing to say no to because your value is clearly communicated. Do you see how that works? So if you know what you're about, you know what your business values are, you know what your business goals are, and you know what is unique about you and the way you do things, you're going to be courting a lot fewer questions that you have to say no to. One of the ways that I have been learning to respond to things that would otherwise need a no was from the consultant that I have been working with on my own marketing. Her name is Claudia. She is in the Netherlands. She is a delightful woman, and she taught me to respond to questions this way. There are a number of ways to address this need. Here is the one I can help you with. This is how I work. And I love the simplicity of that, because when you can express what you do, why you do it that way, what makes it different, then the people who want and value that will only have a couple of little questions. They will not be challenging you on your availability, your pricing structure. They will not be asking you for guarantees. They will be able to evaluate your offer, your business, and a relationship working with you on its own merits. You see, the way I look at saying no is that most of the time we are not nearly as clear as we think we are on what we have to offer. We're not focusing on our offers from the potential client's perspective. So in a way, we force them to ask us questions that we say yes to when we really don't want to. And I think the more clear your values are, your goals are, and your unique value proposition, the less you get asked about exceptions. I think it's very rare that we should actually be making exceptions, exceptions in our boundaries, exceptions in our limits, exceptions in our pricing, exceptions in our payment structure. The fewer exceptions we make is because we're super, super clear about how we work and the value of our offer. That way, we don't have to feel defensive when we're asked because we have an answer that we feel confident in and are happy to address instead of feeling defensive or insecure. I have come to understand that when I'm asked a question by a current or prospective client and I feel defensive or insecure, it has been because I have been unclear about what it is I'm offering and the value of it, so that individual can determine whether it's for them or not. That doesn't take care of 100% of situations, but boy, does it address quite a few. So just to sum up, there are a few times when you're just going to have a gut feeling that what you're being asked to do is just not okay. So without even consulting your business values, your business goals, or your unique service proposition, it is always appropriate to say no to anything that is a personal red flag for you, based on your values, based on your instincts, based on your previous business and life experience. It is always appropriate to say no to bad clients, however you define them. Guts don't lie. We have intuition and instincts for a reason. So you never want to consent to an unhealthy or unbalanced relationship. And how that's going to look with a client is anytime the value exchange doesn't feel right. What does that mean? Based on what they're paying you and how you feel in the relationship, you are not receiving the value that is equal to the value of the work you're doing with them or for them. It is an exchange of value. It should never feel like an unfair, unhealthy, unbalanced, or God forbid, an abusive relationship. We have all had them, and you certainly do not need to have them anymore. So if you are put on the spot, if you are not prepared for questions about pricing, payment plans, discounts, bartering, additional time, or anything of that sort, if you haven't already thought about those things and come up with your own solutions, what I strongly suggest if you're caught off guard is to stall for time. Simply do not give an answer when you're on the spot, because like I said, 9 times out of 10, it'll be an answer that you're not going to feel good about later. It's one of the things that I teach my coaching clients that I call the default yes. Most of us, when we're put on the spot and we haven't thought through ahead of time what we would do if this arises, we just go ahead and say yes. Yes just rolls off the tongue. Yes feels like an easy out. It's an easy way to conclude the conversation, but oftentimes that yes is a slippery slope to a situation that you would rather not be in. So there's nothing wrong with stalling. In fact, there are many elegant ways to stall. My favorite is, well, you know, I didn't really anticipate that question. I honestly haven't been asked that before. I'm going to need a little bit of time to think it over. I'll get back to you. You're not saying no. You're not getting into a dialogue. You're basically saying, this is a request that is outside the norm. So that hopefully gives them a little bit of feedback, and I need some time to consider it. And then you do need to get back to them. But that stalling for time means that you are not giving an answer that you are not prepared to give without consideration. Consideration of your needs, consideration of the needs of your business, and consideration for how you're going to feel about the answer you give down the road. So you have my permission to stall for time. You know, there's the expression sleep on it, and that used to be the norm. People are in a hurry, and we are all feeling pressed and pressured to make decisions quickly. But if that's not how you roll, and you know that decisions made quickly that you weren't prepared to face are usually not going to work out for you, simply refuse to decide, but in a nice way, stall. So that's it for now. I'm not going to be covering all the other aspects of saying no and assertiveness and all that. We will definitely be having more episodes like this in the coming year, but I did want to share my thoughts with you about saying no like you mean it, because you will have a lot fewer no's when you really understand what you're offering and how to present it in a way that the right client literally can't wait to say yes. So that's all for now. We'll be back next week with a guest episode. See you then, Driven Woman.
You've been listening to the Driven Woman podcast with Diane Wingert. Want more straight talk and strategy each week that will take you from spinning to winning? Don't forget to hit subscribe in your podcast player so you won't miss a single episode. Then head on over to the Driven Woman free and private Facebook group community. See you there.